офісу Андрій Єрмак написав заяву про відставку. Я вдячний Андрію за те, що українська позиція в переговорному треку завжди була ним представлена саме так, як і має бути. Завжди це була патріотична позиція. Але я хочу, щоб не було чуток і спекуляцій.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, November the 29th, coming to you from Sofia, Bulgaria. Let's talk about some news. And we are here at the Church of St. Nicholas the Wonder Worker. A beautiful church here in Sofia, Bulgaria. Absolutely stunning. And a beautiful dog in the distance as well. So before we get to the big news topics for today, remember to like this video, to share this video, and if you want, you can subscribe to this channel. The choice is yours, but to be honest, where else are you going to get the news? You're going to get a travel vlog around the beautiful city of Sofia. You're going to see a dog. Maybe you'll see some cats. And you'll also get some humor along the way. And you will also see a beautiful sculpture of Pushkin, 1799 to 1837. So I think that's worth a like to this channel. So let's talk about the big news stories for this Saturday, and we will start off with Yermak resigning. Andrei Yermak, the Green Goblin's muscle, the man behind the curtain, he has resigned. And not only has he resigned, but according to the New York Post, Yermak is going to the front lines. This is what the New York Post is reporting. Former top Zelensky aide. He's just an aide. He's just an aide, by the way. That's the narrative that they're running with. He's just an aide or a chief negotiator. Former top Zelensky aide sends the Post ominous message hours after resignation. I'm going to the front. I'm going to the front and am prepared for any reprisals, Andrei Yermak told the Post in an impassioned text message Friday night. I am an honest and decent person. He then apologized if he no longer answers calls. He did not say when or how he intended to go to the front lines of the war against Russia. The Zelensky curse strikes from within the Zelensky administration. The Zelensky curse strikes Yermak, who sent the New York Post an impassioned text message. Is there any other kind of text message? I think all text messages are impassioned. Impassioned means that what Yermak put a bunch of emojis in the text that he sent to the New York Post. Is that how you make a text message impassioned? A couple of emojis. Anyway, according to the New York Post, Yermak is heading to the front. And he will no longer answer any calls. I'm not going to answer any calls. I'm Audi 5000, but I'm heading to the front. What front exactly is Andrei Yermak heading towards? The New York Post thinks he's going to head towards the front lines. I would say that Yermak is heading towards the front lines of the conflict, is what the New York Post thinks. That's what they assume, but I would say that Yermak is heading towards the front lines of the Miami real estate market. That's the front line that he's heading towards. The front lines of the next purchase of a UK football club. That's the front. He's getting to the front of the line for when a UK football club will be available for purchase. That's the front that Yermak actually means. So in 2022, the Green Goblin gave an interview, I believe it was to CNN, where they asked him about Yermak. And Alensky said, "Yermak came with me and he will leave with me." Came with me and he will leave with me. Now, I like this park bench setup. I like it a lot. This is the way park benches should be set up, so you can sit and talk, right? So yeah, he came with me, he will leave with me. Remember the Financial Times article? I talked about this FT article when I was in Moscow. And it was an article that talked about how close Yermak and the Green Goblin are. They hang out together. They play, I believe it said they play video games together or something like that. They work out. I remember the article, the FT said that they work out together. Buddies. Bosom buddies. But yeah, Yermak is gone. But according to the New York Post, he's just a top aide. According to the Washington Post, he's a top aide and a lead negotiator. According to the Wall Street Journal, he's just a top aide. Just a top aide. The top aide resigns, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Washington Post says, Alensky's top aide and lead negotiator resigns amid corruption probe. He's much more than a top aide, but the collectivist media is trying to play down the significance of Yermak, right? They don't want to say that he was the real power in Kiev. They can't say that. The narrative now coming out of the collective West and out of Kiev is that this is a good thing. This is a good thing because it just shows that Alensky is serious about corruption. You see, this is all for the best. Ukraine's going to be better off for Yermak's resignation and all of this Naboo investigation. It just shows that Ukraine is very serious about corruption. This is the narrative that is now being spun. And I like this post from Baron of the Tega. He says, Lavrov isn't in front of a camera for 5 minutes. Putin's regime is imploding. The de facto president of Ukraine raided for graft and now going to commit suicide on the front. This shows how well things are working. Yeah, Lavrov is not in front of the cameras for 5 minutes and Putin's government is collapsing. Yermak resigns over a corruption scandal. His office raided, his home raided. Umerov is also under investigation, allegedly, who was Alensky's defense minister and now he's been appointed as one of the negotiators. Umerov is now one of the negotiators. And the Alensky regime is crumbling. People are resigning. Yermak is saying he's going to go to the front line now. But it's all for the best, right? Everything is okay. Everything is okay. And this shows that Ukraine is serious about corruption. The Alensky regime is serious about corruption. So I am sure Everyone is wondering what Medvedev has to say about this. And you ask, I deliver. Here is Medvedev's post on X. The corrupt government surrounding the expired Kiev clown has crumbled. He may still be sitting in his office spewing sugar from his nose, but he won't be the one who signs the peace treaty. The buffoon is illegitimate. The collapse of his system is inevitable. I swapped out the word. I used the word sugar instead of what Medvedev wrote in the post. But that's Medvedev. That's his statement on Alensky. Umerov is going to be traveling to the United States to meet with Witkoff and Kushner. These are the reports that we are getting. They are going to talk about the 28-point peace plan, or the 19-point peace plan, or however many numbers are in this peace plan. Notice Umerov is going to be traveling to the United States to meet with Witkoff and Kushner, and we are getting reports that Witkoff and Kushner are going to be traveling to Moscow. So the U.S. traveling to Moscow. Meanwhile, Ukraine, in a panic, is traveling to the United States. I think that sums up the situation fairly well. The Economist is reporting that Budanov is going to be one of the lead negotiators, along with Umerov, in D.C. Kirill Budanov, head of the Ukraine military spy agency. And I think Budanov is actually going to the U.S. not to negotiate, but to meet with the people that made Budanov, the people that recruited Budanov, the CIA. I think that's why he's going to the United States. That would be my guess. I don't think he's going to negotiate any kind of peace. I think he's going to get his orders from the CIA. What next? Perhaps, as Alexander has described it, a dirty war. The dirty war that could be brewing between the United States, the three-letter agencies in the collective West, and Russia. We actually had yesterday, according to the reports, naval drones which hit two tankers, part of what the collective West calls the Russian shadow fleet. And I believe one of the tankers was on its way to a port in Russia. And they were in the Black Sea, actually, because these are Turkish media reports. And these two tankers, oil, energy tankers, they got hit by some drones, Ukrainian drones. Those are the reports that we are getting. So they're going after oil tankers now. We also got reports that the Caspian Pipeline Consortium, the pipeline in the Caspian, was also attacked by drones. And I believe that the CPC, as it is known, is actually part owned by U.S. energy companies. So this was an attack, actually, in part on U.S. Energy assets by Ukrainian drones. At least those are the initial reports that we are getting. So Budanov heading to the U.S., according to The Economist as well. The UK media, they're freaking out over the trip from Witkoff and Kushner to Moscow. Rumors from the UK media claim that Witkoff and Kushner, when they go to Moscow, they're going to pretty much agree to Istanbul Plus. Actually, the EU is very upset with what's going on, the EU and the UK, because they claim that they're being kept in the dark as far as what is being negotiated between the United States and Russia, this trip between Witkoff and Kushner to Moscow. The EU is being kept in the dark as to what they're going to present to Russia. They have no idea what is going on. They have no idea what deal or peace plan is going to be brought to the Russians. Peskov said that he has confirmed that Russia has received some sort of a peace plan, but we don't know exactly which one. Is it a 28-point peace plan? Is it a 19-point peace plan? Is it a zero-point peace plan? You're talking. Okay. So Peskov has confirmed it. I don't know who that was, by the way. but anyway, Peskov has confirmed it. They've received some sort of a peace plan. The EU is being kept in the dark. And the UK media is reporting that Witkoff and Kushner are basically going to sign off on Istanbul Plus. From the Telegraph, Trump hands Putin Ukraine's occupied territories. What's this? We can go. There's a crypt. Can we film? Do you know if we can film video or not? I'll ask. Okay. Let me see. Let me see if they'll let me film inside. Thank you.
Okay. Where will be this film after that? YouTube?
It'll be on YouTube. Yes.
You will put this in YouTube?
Absolutely.
How to look for this?
Alex Christoforou.
Oh.
That's where you'll find it. If they let me film, then it'll be on YouTube.
I will remember.
Yeah, a few people will see it. Yeah. Yeah, I'll promote the beautiful church.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, that church in Bulgaria is told that it's Russian church.
Yes. St. Nicholas.
By the way, that is very complicated, but I'm not considering this church as a Russian church.
Well, it's a Russian style architecture.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a Bulgarian,
but it's Russian style.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bulgarian churches are beautiful. The Bulgarian Orthodox churches are beautiful. The Russian Orthodox churches are beautiful. The Greek Orthodox churches, the Romanian Orthodox. We have beautiful churches.
By the way, there is a Catholic church here.
Yes. Yes, I've seen the Catholic church.
Muslim church. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. Church, by the way.
Yes.
Very beautiful outside.
Sofia is beautiful.
Yes,
it's a museum.
I don't know. Outside is very
It's beautiful. It's a walking museum. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Have a great day. I believe this is from the Times. It says the U.S. to recognize Russian control of Crimea. So that's the U.K. media. They're basically saying that Trump is going to recognize the territories. They say Donetsk, Lugansk, and Crimea. And I believe this is the Times, which says that Jared Kushner and Witkoff are going to tell Russia that they are going to recognize Russian control of Crimea. So this has the UK media in a panic. This has the EU in a panic. Man, the EU is melting down big time over what's going on. Check out this tweet from Donald Tusk. This post from Donald Tusk that he put up yesterday. Orban visits Putin. Navrosky Orban. Chaos in negotiations over Witkoff plan, and in Kiev, a political crisis, a fatal combination. He's upset about Orban visiting Putin, as is Mertz. Mertz is very upset with Orban visiting Putin as well. Actually, Mertz, he said to the media yesterday that Orbán went to visit Putin without a mandate, without a European mandate. How dare he go visit Russia without a European mandate, without approval from the EU? But quite an inappropriate post from Donald Tusk. A fatal combination, he says. Trying to find peace, trying to get to some sort of a peace is a fatal combination, according to Tusk. Brussels is telling the Zelensky regime that if they want to enter the European Union, then they have to go after the corruption. This is what they're saying. Brussels tells Ukraine, convict corrupt officials if you want to join the European Union. You see, they think that's going to fix everything, right? If they convict some people, then we're back on track. just convict a few people, and everything will be okay, and everyone's going to forget about the corruption, and then we can continue to send you more money, and our European citizens are not going to question more money being sent to the Zelensky regime. They're not going to say, why are you sending more money to a corrupt regime? Because we'll be able to tell them, you see, Ukraine has convicted some officials of corruption. So everything is okay. That's how the Brussels technocrats are trying to paper over the Kiev regime meltdown. They're also going after Belgium. They're desperate to get their hands on the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets. And so what happened is that Belgium, what the Belgium authorities, what they told Brussels, is that they cannot hand over the $140 billion. Because if they handed over the $140 billion to the Zelensky regime, this might ruin the peace process that is taking place, the negotiations that are taking place. It's an excuse from Belgium, because the reality is that Belgium understands that if they greenlit the seizing of the Russian frozen assets, this would melt down the economy in Belgium. It would create a meltdown with Euroclear. And they're trying to figure out every excuse that they can to tell the EU, no, we cannot greenlight the $140 billion to the Zelensky regime. So their latest excuse is that if we greenlight the $140 billion, then that might ruin the current negotiations that are taking place between the United States and Ukraine, the United States and Russia. But the EU, they are persistent. They are committed, determined to get their hands on the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets. And so what are they doing now? They are putting pressure on Belgium in the form of accusations that they are not handing over tax revenues from the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets to Ukraine. They're accusing Belgium of, this is a weird one, they're accusing Belgium of stealing their own corporate tax revenues instead of giving them to the Green Goblin. This is what European Union officials are accusing Belgium of. So basically, they're saying that the tax revenues from Euroclear, the corporate tax revenues of Euroclear, which include holding the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets, all of this stuff obviously is taxed. There's a corporate tax that Euroclear pays, and the part of the tax that is attributed to the $140 billion should be going to Ukraine instead of staying in Belgium. Belgium's corporate tax on the Russian frozen assets should not stay in Belgium, but should go to Zelensky. And you're talking about a billion euros in taxes, right? from the Russian frozen assets. And the EU is saying that Belgium is not handing over this billion to Zelensky. And this goes against some sort of EU directive or EU law. I don't know how they're coming up with this stuff, but this is the latest scheme that they've come up with to try and pressure Belgium to hand over the 140 billion in Russian frozen assets. Desperate, absolutely desperate. The week has for their cover Trump signing the negotiation papers, maybe you could say the capitulation papers, Russian flag and Ukraine flag in the background. Pushing for peace is Trump appeasing Moscow. The week is Trump appeasing Moscow. The U.S. has realized that it cannot win this conflict. It would like a freeze. It's trying to get a freeze, but Russia remains firm with Istanbul Plus at a minimum and some sort of regime change in Kiev. But the United States is going to have to negotiate with Russia, and the United States is going to have to sign something, right? After all, this started as a U.S. proxy war against Russia way back in 2014, and probably even further back than that. And it has brought us up to where we are today, with the Trump White House possibly realizing that they cannot win this conflict. And at a minimum, they need a freeze, most likely Istanbul Plus. And so, yeah, the Trump White House is going to have to sign some sort of document. Otherwise, this will get resolved on the battlefield. Anyway, that is the cover from the week. The panic in Europe, in the UK, is very real. And so let's go into the church and let's film a little bit, because I don't want to disturb everybody. Okay. No photos.
Имам български разбиращи, дещеря лекарство. Ще се нема лекарство.
Лекарства. Медицин, лекарства. Лекарства, да, я понимаю.
Още 50 лева. Не стигат.
All right, let's take a walk. Couldn't film inside. I got a little bit, but I was pretty confident that we would not be allowed to film. Lekarstva, by the way, is the Russian word for medicine, right? Lekarstva. Medicine tablets, I believe. Anyway, let's continue with Maduro and Trump phone call. I already talked about Orban in Moscow. Ciarto was also there, by the way. Ciarto posted on X that it was a very successful trip to Moscow. They secured oil via Turkstream, gas and oil via Turkstream. They firmed things up with the construction cooperation with the PAX NPP, the nuclear power plant. And of course, they talked about Project Ukraine. And I believe they got a commitment from Putin that if there is some sort of a negotiated settlement between the United States and Russia, it would take place in Budapest. So no Istanbul, Budapest may be where Trump the United States and Russia signed some sort of a peace deal. So we have to talk about Maduro and Trump, according to the New York Times. They had a phone call. They actually spoke on the phone. Maduro and Trump. This happened last week, according to the NYT. And there could be a meeting between the two taking place. Though nothing has been confirmed with the meeting, a face-to-face meeting between Trump and Maduro. Wouldn't that be something? The phone call, it looks like that did happen. I like it. I like it a lot. Trump talking to Maduro. Very interesting. So Trump also posted on Truth Social that all of the executive orders from Biden, the ones that involved the auto pen, which were pretty much all of the executive orders. Actually, I read somewhere, check this out. I read somewhere that pretty much all the executive orders from Biden were via auto pen, except for one, which was the Hunter pardon. I don't know if this is true, but I read somewhere that the Hunter pardon, Biden actually made sure to sign that one personally. But anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, Trump posted on Truth Social that that all of the auto pens, the executive orders, are null and void. I'm going to have to turn it down because there's so much music. But I really want to show you this Christmas market, so I'm going to turn down the audio. Let's check it out. Well, I know where I'm coming back to get some food right here at this Christmas market. Boy, so the audio when doing the walk and talks is the music is always a problem. Anyway, let's wrap up this video with the clown world. So what was I saying? Yeah, he posted on Truth Social, all the auto pen stuff is canceled, all the executive orders, null and void. According to President Trump, all the pardons, everything that was done with auto pen, I don't like it. I don't like that auto pen. So let's do some clown worlds and we can wrap up this video update on this Saturday afternoon here in Sofia. According to Politico, cash-strapped Britain looks to sell off embassies. They're giving money to the Zelensky regime, but because they're cash strapped, they're going to now sell off their properties around the world. Their embassy and consulate properties, because they're cash strapped. One of the properties, according to Politico, is a property in New York that is owned by the British government. Which is a $15 million penthouse purchased in 2019 for diplomats at the luxury 50 United Nations Plaza complex. The 7-bedroom residence occupies the entire 38th floor and includes a library, 6 bathrooms, and a powder room. It has a powder room. There's a powder room for Keir Starmer when he visits the United States and speaks at the United Nations. There's a powder room for him. So yeah, that's clown world number one. This is the theater. And clown world number two is also courtesy of the UK, UK media, The Sun. And I don't really have to comment much on this one, to be quite honest. I do not have to comment at all on this one. The Sun, bird brain scheme. Putin's scientists launched chilling squadron of remote controlled spy pigeons fitted with brain implants. The tech firm has already tampered with cow brains in a bid to boost milk yields. Now it's time for pigeons. I don't even need to say anything, do I? That's enough. That's enough clown world for one day. I don't even understand that title, to be quite honest, what The Sun is getting at. That's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We're on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. And check us out on Substack. We are also on Substack. The link is in the description box down below. Take care.